Coming up, it's Mountain Edition.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 35 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
I believe it's important to accurately report the abortions.
The first of several abortion-related bills passed the Kentucky Senate today.
School superintendents may soon have hiring power in Kentucky.
A Kentucky lawmaker is pushing for a pink tax exemption for feminine hygiene products.
A Kentucky group is hoping to help those facing food insecurities due to the partial government shutdown.
Carter Caves is gearing up for the Winter Adventure Weekend.
In sports, Round's girls basketball team heads to Floyd Central tomorrow.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
A 60% chance of snow tonight with a low around 27 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
State correction officials confirm an inmate has walked away from Eastern Kentucky Correctional Complex. According to LAX 18, John Parrott, a minimum security inmate at the Eastern Kentucky Complex, walked away from an outside work detail at a local tree farm at 2:29 p.m. Parrott was serving a 38-year sentence for convictions out of Nelson and Jefferson counties for second-degree burglary, theft by unlawful taking, first-degree burglary, receiving stolen property, second-degree robbery, possession of a handgun by a convicted felon, first-degree wanton endangerment, and second-degree escape. He's a 40-year-old white male, described as 6-foot-tall, 210 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. He would have been eligible for parole in March of this year. Anyone with information concerning Parrott is asked to call the Kentucky State Police Post 8 in Moorhead at 606-784-4127.
A Republican-dominated board of Kentucky lawmakers investigating a Democrat's election by one vote, Margarine has obtained 17 unopened absentee ballots from the local county clerk's office. Republican D.J. Johnson lost to the Democrat Jim Glenn by one vote in the November election. Johnson has asked the Republican-dominated House of Representatives for a recount. His lawyers have focused on 17 absentee ballots that were not counted for various reasons. Wednesday, a police officer took those ballots from Davis County Clerk's office and put them in a safe in the House Clerk's office. Glenn's lawyer said the process has tainted the evidence and those ballots cannot be considered. House Republican Caucus Chief of Staff David Floyd said none of the ballots have been altered.
A bill that would require anyone prescribing a drug meant to induce an abortion to report it to the State Department of Vital Statistics passed the Kentucky Senate today. Senate Bill 50 passed on a 32-6 vote and will head to the State House, which will take it up when the legislature returns in February. Republican Senator Robbie Mills of Henderson is the bill's sponsor.
Senate Bill 50 helps us understand how many abortions are occurring and codifies that a prescription given in a doctor's office with the intent to abort a pregnancy is considered an abortion. It is really a clarification.
Senators who oppose the legislation claim it places a stigma on the drug involved that are also used for several other non-abortion related procedures.
The Kentucky Senate has passed a bill to shift the authority for selecting school principals. The bill would transfer that power away from school-based decision-making councils and give it to school superintendents. The councils would serve an advisory role in selecting principals. The measure cleared the Senate on a 23-13 vote Friday and next goes to the House. Supporters of the bill say superintendents who shoulder the responsibility for a district's performance should have the authority to hire principals who lead schools. Opponents say it would consolidate too much power in the hands of superintendents.
A bill proposed in the state Senate calls for a process to have court cases involving legislation assigned using a random process instead of automatically sending them to the Franklin Circuit Court. Franklin Circuit Judge Philip Shepard has drawn the ire of the governor and state Republicans as the judge that ruled the pension reform bill passed last year was passed in violation of the state constitution, a ruling upheld by the state Supreme Court. Senate Bill 2 is sponsored by Senate President Robert Stivers, who says he doesn't want one judge to wield all the power.
Why should a judge elected in one county, and I'm not just picking on this county, be the judge that always is the one who gets this case, or at least the two judges that always get the cases that challenge what goes on to the Constitution, the state, and government? It's not appropriate.
Although Stivers did not mention Judge Shepherd by name, Governor Matt Bevin has publicly referred to the judge as a, quote, hack in several media interviews.
A Kentucky lawmaker is pushing for a tax exemption for feminine hygiene products, diapers, and other baby products. House Bills 23 and 24 would eliminate the Commonwealth's pink tax. Democratic Representative Attica Scott sponsors the bill. She told WLKY the exemption would give parents a break.
And so this is one way of saying to you, we're going to do our best to break down some of those barriers to thriving.
The exemption would last for 4 years. The state would review its financial impact at the end of that time.
There will soon be a special election to fill the vacated 31st Senate District seat. The Appalachian News Express reports Governor Matt Bevin filed paperwork for the special election, which will fill the seat vacated by Ray Jones upon his election as Pike County Judge Executive. Jones took office on Monday. The 31st District includes Elliott, Martin, Lawrence, Morgan, and Pike counties. The filing deadline for Republican and Democratic candidates nominated by their parties is no later than Tuesday, January 15th at 4 p.m. Independent and political group organization candidates must be filed with the Secretary of State's office by that deadline as well.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin says he can work with Ohio's incoming governor on a solution to fix a 57-year-old bridge the federal government has labeled obsolete. The Cincinnati Inquirer reports Bevin told news outlets Thursday that he's confident he and Governor-elect Mike DeWine can find a plan for the Brent Spence Bridge. Bevin says a solution might likely involve tolls. He says the federal government won't pay for more than one-third of the $2.5 billion project. The bridge over the Ohio River between Covington, Kentucky, and Cincinnati has been the region's top transportation issue for decades. It carries more than double the vehicle traffic it was designed for.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Hunger-fighting groups say they are ready to assist Kentuckians who might be facing greater food insecurity as a result of the ongoing government shutdown. Federal officials say fallout from the shutdown will not impact the food security of families already living on the edge in Kentucky and other states. However, Michael Halligan with God's Pantry Food Bank says thousands of federal employees still are furloughed or working without pay, which could make it difficult for them to put food on the table.
One would hope that those folks will get back to work quickly and not face that issue, but hunger is about economic resources, and when somebody's not getting paid, they are certainly increasing their risk of being hungry.
Halligan says local organizations are available to help those struggling with food insecurity.
The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources is offering something new for this year's elk season, a permit that gives archery and crossbow hunters a choice in whether to take a male or a female elk. Gabe Jenkins, the state's elk program coordinator, says the new option should increase the success rate for those hunters. WYMT reports Kentucky will still offer quota elk hunt permits that include gun hunts for a bull or a cow along with a youth permit. The cost is $10 to apply for each permit. While hunters may apply for multiple permits, they may be drawn for only one. For 2019, Kentucky will offer 594 elk permits throughout its quota drawing. The deadline to apply is April 30th.
Carter Caves will be hosting their 10th annual Winter Adventure Weekend, January 24th through the 27th. The weekend is full of many indoor and outdoor activities, as well as workshops led by professional adventure enthusiasts. Paul Tierney is a naturalist at Carter Caves. He says there are a variety of activities available.
So the rope programs are always very, very popular. The cave tours, the crawling tours are extremely popular. Some of the caves that we go into, we have special permission to go in there. And any other time, you would never be able to go in there any other time other than at the Winter Adventure Weekend.
To register for events at the Winter Adventure Weekend, visit winteradventureweekend.com.
Calling for action on climate change is set to make big moves in 2019. At the end of 2018, more than 1,000 young people, including 75 from Kentucky, gathered in the halls of Congress to call for support of the Green New Deal, which is legislation to address climate change and income equality. Destiny Grisby, a Louisville High School student, was at the Capitol in December when the assembly at the office of the second most powerful House Democrat, Representative Steiny Hoer.
Young people have finally come into like their political understanding of their own power. But I think now we actually have this really awesome thing that we're backing, and we are doing an amazing job at it. And I don't think we're going to stop. And I think we're actually getting good feedback from Congress members as well.
Since the midterms, more than 40 members of Congress have joined the Sunrise Movement in its calls to establish a select committee on the Green New Deal.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is offering scholarships to current and prospective students. Students pursuing civil engineering and engineering technology degrees are open to apply to the scholarships. Natora Gibenu is the executive director of the Office of Public Affairs for KTC. She says the scholarships are great opportunities.
It's a really unique scholarship in that we're not just offering financial assistance to cover expenses like tuition or books and room and board, but it also offers recipients the chance to work for us during the summer or also find full-time employment after graduation. So it's a really unique scholarship opportunity in that sense.
The scholarship can be used by students attending the University of Kentucky, Louisville, Western Kentucky University, and Kentucky State University. There are also scholarships being awarded for students planning to enroll in associate civil engineering programs through KCTCS. For more information on the scholarship and how to apply, visit the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's website. The deadline to apply is February the 1st.
The major players in the meat industry have developed a stewardship plan they say will ensure that they use antibiotics in livestock only when necessary. Some livestock producers have said the federal guidelines are confusing and that they need more training to meet their responsibilities. Joe Swedberg is chairman of the Farm Foundation. He says the new plan standardizes terms so everyone is on the same page.
We brought to the table food service, retailers, pharmaceuticals, livestock groups, processors, all the organizations that are dealing with this each and every day to come up with a mutually agreed upon definition for the stewardship and then the components that comprise it.
He adds the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the FDA have been partners in this process under both the Obama and Trump administrations. Taking an extended look at the region's weather, tonight, snow likely mainly after 4 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 29, chance of precipitation is at 60%, new snow accumulation of less than 1 inch possible. Saturday, snow likely, possibly mixed with freezing rain before 1 p.m., then rain likely, possibly mixed with snow, cloudy with a high near 36, chance of precipitation is 70. Taking a look at local weather forecasts, 34 degrees in the areas of Lexington, Mount Sterling, Flemingsburg, Maysville, and Ashland, 35 in Inez, and on the campus of Morehead State University, 35 degrees.
On our feature segment today, to kick off the new year, commentator John Modaff notices how a divided nation has many roots, including the fear of nature.
Yes, yes, we are a nation divided. When haven't we been? What has changed is how the division is taking shape. And there we can see things that began 20 or 30 years ago, reaching new levels of institutionalization. Foremost among these is the sexualization of touch. 30 years ago, the modern campaigns began. Adults in positions of child care, teachers in particular, were told not to touch their clients because of the ambiguity of nonverbal communication and the fact that some touch is sexual as well as inappropriate. A contextualization of all touch as sexual or potentially sexual began. That was not really as crazy as some ideas people had about the body and sex centuries ago. But what we are doing in this nation goes well beyond the insanity level of our forebears. Before, touch was the category and sexual touch was a type. There were other forms of touch. People did not see sex every time their eyes saw touch. What have we done to ourselves? A most recent manifestation of this fear that every touch is sexual touch is the story about parents wondering if they should warn their children not to sit on Santa's lap. Santa is a bad character. He identifies as white male, is married to a woman who changed her name to defer to his demands. He appears to be nonpartisan, but clearly tends to the Republican side, since he enslaves short people, with no visible compensation beyond permission to sing while working. All that is background. He is a man, and that is enough to make him a potential sex maniac, a criminal by nature, truly by nature, driven to fondle and gaze upon whatever is within range. He is a beast, this Santa. So let's get this over with. Instead of chipping away at teachers, giving a weeping second grader a hug, of declaring that men looking is men gazing is men lusting for sex, let's identify all at once the forms of touch that are, you can bet on it, going to be declared no-nos in public, professional, and eventually private interchange. Put more simply, these forms of touch have got to go. If Santa has got to go, and there is to be no more lap sitting, because you know a healthy, sane person cannot think of a lap without thinking of sex, right? Then these more overtly salacious forms of tacticity must be stopped. First, handshakes. It's a man thing. It's already being phased out by the fist bump and the look the other way. Hugs, unless you're already having sex with someone, and that only after overt consent each and every encounter, no hugging, especially if you are a man and the person with whom said hug may occur is smaller or less powerful or doesn't fish as well as you. Butt slapping in the end zone and other mannish or jockish touching, got to go. These are scoffed off now as non-PDA, but let's be real. You don't see people who hate one another butt-slapping. Ban it. It's all sex. In fact, let's just ban touching, because any or all of it leads to sex in the sane, mature mind. Hell, you crazy. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:47 and 35 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this frosty Friday afternoon. Joe Lewis has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet at drive.ky.gov. Preparing now for upcoming changes to driver's licenses and permits can save you time when the new card versions roll out by county in 2019 and continue through spring. A list of the required documents you'll need to bring the next time you renew and to review the rollout schedule for the new mailed credentials online at drive.ky.gov.
The Rowan County girls face a tough road test. MSU finishes up its road trip in Music City, and have the Bengals found their new coach? Those stories and more coming up on your WMKY Sports Report. I'm Joe Lewis. The Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team has been hard at work this week preparing for a tough matchup on Saturday. The Lady Vikings will be playing Floyd Central as part of the Kentucky 2A Championship sectional tournaments. Head coach Matt Stokes has been preparing his girls for the undefeated Lady Jaguars, who he says have a very similar play style.
So we're going to work on, you know, just being prepared for different types of junk defenses that they'll throw at us. And we're also going to work more on our zone defense ourselves. You know, our man-to-man is pretty good, and we really focused last night on doing some zone defensive stuff in the half court. And, you know, I saw some holes that we need to work on and fix. But I think our zone will be a good defense to run against Floyd Central.
Tip-off for tomorrow's game is set for 4 o'clock at Floyd Central. The winner of that game will go on to play Bell County on Sunday. The Bengals appear ready to choose Zach Taylor as their next head coach. Taylor, the Rams quarterback's coach, is the Bengals' choice according to multiple media outlets. A 35-year-old former Nebraska quarterback, Taylor will draw immediate comparisons to his boss, Rams head coach Sean McVay, because of his age and his offensive approach. Taylor has previously worked as the Rams wide receivers coach. the Dolphins' offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, and the offensive coordinator at the University of Cincinnati. Officially, the Bengals cannot hire Taylor until the Rams' postseason is over. The Morehead State men's basketball team finishes up its Music City road trip, hoping to get back in the win column when they face Tennessee State on Saturday. Head coach Preston Spradlin talks about what to expect in the matchup.
First-year head coach, he had a complete rebuild, a lot of new players, new faces there, doing things a little differently. He's kind of in the same situation we were in last year and in some ways this year, and I think we're both going to come in with, you know, significantly under 500 records into that game. And what you can't do is you can't play the scores. You can't play the records. You got to play. You got to come ready to go.
The Eagles at 4-12 and 0-3 in the OVC will face a Tennessee State squad at 4-11 and 1-2 in the OVC that's ranked only right above them in the standings. Tennessee State knocked off Eastern Kentucky by a single point Thursday night at home. The game will air live on WIVY 96.3 FM and on ESPN+. The Morehead State women's basketball team also takes on Tennessee State on Saturday. The Lady Eagles are coming off a 77-50 loss to Belmont Thursday night. Head coach Greg Todd talks about his team's shooting struggles in that contest.
We have been able to score the ball almost all year against almost anyone we play, but tonight we really struggle shooting. Miranda had a good first half. And a tough second half, and did not have a good finishing night.
The 10-6 Lady Eagles are 1-2 in conference play, while Tennessee State comes in at 1-14 overall and 1-2 in the OVC. The game will air live at 6:30 p.m. on WIVY 96.3 FM and on ESPN+. Morehead State's women's track and field team is set to begin the indoor portion of the 2019 schedule Saturday at the Marshall Women's Classic. Those events begin at noon. Saturday marks the first of three consecutive events the Eagles will take part in at Marshall. In addition to those meets, the Eagles will run in the Ohio Valley Conference Championships in Birmingham, Alabama on February 20th and 21st. MSU will have an upperclassman-heavy roster for 2019. Seniors include Kansas Greenwell, Maya Ferris, and Gloria Corona Luna. Juniors include Maya Andrews, Allison Chin, Caitlin Cunningham, Abby Dorn, Shelby Watkins, and Sydney Young. Head coach Stephen Picucci is now in his fifth season leading the Eagle program. And finally, the Reds avoided arbitration with shortstop Jose Peraza and pitcher Michael Lorenzen, with a source telling MLB.com that both agreed to one-year contracts on Friday. Peraza will earn $2.775 million, while Lorenzen is getting $1.95 million. The club has not yet made a formal announcement. Friday at 1 p.m. was the deadline for clubs and arbitration-eligible players to exchange salary figures. Five more players remain eligible for arbitration: Anthony DeSclafani, Scooter Jeanette, Yasiel Puig, Tanner Roark, and Alex Wood. And that's your look at sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Joe Lewis.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Southeast Missouri for an OVC doubleheader on Thursday, January 17th. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m., and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks posted solid weekly gains, but an ongoing U.S. government shutdown and worries about an economic slowdown in China pushed shares marginally lower today. And the Dow Industrials did finish the week with a loss of 5.97 after being down more than that for most of the day, finishing at 23,995.95. The S&P 500 was down 0.38 at 2596.26, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 14.59 at 6971.48. But as mentioned, solid gains for the week as the Dow Industrials and S&P 500 both rose more than 2%, while the NASDAQ jumped 3.5% for the week. And this week was also the calmest on Wall Street in a while. It was the fifth day without an S&P 500 move greater than 1% in either direction. And this is the longest such quiet streak since early October for the benchmark indices. An analyst today on Wall Street said that Starbucks would be the next company to warn of a slowdown in China. And, of course, this follows Apple's recent warning about their quarter because of weakness in China. And Starbucks stock was down about 0.75%. Also, Activision Blizzard dropped almost 10% after the company announced it was giving up its Destiny franchise. GM was among your best performers today, finishing with a gain of 7% after providing stronger than expected earnings guidance for 2019. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.7%, finishing at $51.70 a barrel. Gold was up 0.1% at $1,288.60 an ounce. In Europe, the Stock 600 index managed a small gain of 0.1%. In Asia, stocks had a good day. The Nikkei was up 1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Pfizer and United Health Group. And the worst performers were Walgreens Boots Alliance and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were GM and PVH, while the worst performers were Activision Blizzard and Advance Auto Parts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 13 cents at 41.74, Anthem up 4.28 at 256.55, CSX up 53 cents at 65.22, Marathon Petroleum up $1.24 at 64.87, Dollar General down 52 cents at 116, and Yum Brands was down 85 cents to finish at 90.94. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio comes from the Kentucky Community and Technical College System, online at betterlivesky.com. 16 colleges working together to educate skilled workers to help create better lives for a better Kentucky. More information is available online at betterlivesky.com.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tonight, snow likely mainly after 4 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 29. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New snow accumulation of less than 1 inch possible. Saturday, snow likely, possibly mixed with freezing rain before 1 p.m. Then rain likely, possibly mixed with snow, cloudy with a high near 36. Chance of precipitation is 70%. Little or no ice accumulation expected.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Morehead History and Railroad Museum offers vintage displays, artifacts, model trains, photographs, videos, and guided tours. The museum is located across from the Morehead Conference Center on East 1st Street. Open to the public and admission is free. Hours are Friday and Saturdays from noon to 4 p.m.
Now on display at the Round County Arts Center is an artesian frameworks exhibit on display through January 18th. Open weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free.
Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Morehead, will host a book signing by author Charles Dodd White from 1 to 2 p.m. on Saturday, January 19th. The author will be signing copies of his latest novel, In the House of Wilderness.
Aaron Blevins will present a senior percussion recital at 1 p.m. on Sunday, January 20th, in the Duncan Hall Recital of Barron Music Building at Morehead State University. The concert is free and open to the public.
The Morehead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will sponsor a free screening of God Knows Where I Am at 5:30 on Tuesday, January 22nd, in the conference room of the Rowan County Library. Based on personal journals, the film depicts a woman's journey for independence. Everyone is welcome to attend. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Jacob Lindbergh, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Haley Stidham, and Cody Robinson. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH and Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.